that respect, if it was a beneficiary that met the criteria. I don't have the exact name per se at this point in time. And the last question, I think, Mr. Honorable Manny de Freitas asked about whether the investigation that we are referring to would be required to be conducted by the office. I think there is that investigation that has already been conducted, and it is part of process to ensure that any other follow-up investigations, as well as investigations relating to non-compliance of irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, be conducted through the accounting officer or the accounting authority where applicable. So yes, rightly so, we are recommending the investigation. We are not going to be the ones to conduct it unless we get a specific request. But the AG also then would review the request to see whether this is within our mandate, and whether, in fact, this should not be rather managed through either the Minister's Office or any other public body. Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. I think I have covered all of the questions.
Chair, are you still there? Chairperson?
Problems with the network here. I'm trying, my network is unstable. Honorable members, I hope that the AG has answered your questions. Is there any follow-up questions? Can you lower your hand, Honorable Simon? Or are you back? Because you...
Am I audible now?
Yes, you are better.
Am I audible now?
Yes.
Thanks very much, and apologies for this network issues. Two questions, and then they are pertaining to tourism relief funds. Those beneficiaries that have benefited wrongly, can the Auditor General quantify how many beneficiaries and then how many received money, and how much was it? And how many municipal employees received money, and how much was it? So that, Chairperson, we can be assisted to do an oversight and also consequence management. So if we can quantify who are the cardinal bishops. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Sorry for the network problem.
Sangita, I'm not sure if you captured what the Honorable Member was saying there. He says that kindly quantify the numbers. One, how many municipal employees has received the money wrongly, so the deceased and the ones with the wrong ID numbers and what have you. Otherwise, his network is very bad.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. So did the Honorable Member want it for the tour guide one, or was it for the Tourism Relief Fund? Just a clarity question on my side.
For both of them. Chairperson, for both tourist relief fund and also for the tourist guides fund.
AG?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. So for the Tourism Relief Fund, we categorized it under validity of payments to approve the validity of beneficiaries. So we found basically beneficiaries that received payments from national and provincial departments during the lockdown for relief efforts was 32 instances. We found beneficiaries that didn't meet the criteria and didn't comply with the criteria was a total of 36 instances. We had identified on our sample basis for those beneficiaries that were, I'm trying to find the ones in the service of the state, was around, I think, 35 instances. They were in the service of the state, or their directorship indicated that their directorship was the reason why they were receiving the beneficiaries. That's the Tourism Relief Fund. For the tour guide one, we found that we had 58 beneficiaries that were in the service of the state, either at a municipal level, a department level, or a public entity. 17 beneficiaries that were deceased. We found duplicate payments of 26 beneficiaries. We found beneficiaries who actually received the SASSA grant was 273. Beneficiaries who received the Tourism Relief Fund and the Relief Fund for Tour Guides using the ID numbers as a unique identifier was 100. So that was the one about double dipping. We found beneficiaries with invalid IDs or no IDs to be 1,172. And beneficiaries who received UIF payment in the period that was not, that was part of the criteria, was 641, which was also another sense of double dipping. Did I cover the deceased? I said deceased was 17 that we found. Okay. Thanks, Honorable.
Honorable Komba. Thank you, Honorable Chair. My follow-up question here is about the availability or say functionality or the relationship between the department and the risk management committee, including the audit committee. Is there any relationship there, if I may ask the AG, where there is maybe if you found that there is an audit committee, is there any functional audit committee in the department, or is there any risk management committee? Because all these things, if those committees were functional, I don't think we should have such mistakes or delinquencies. So I just want to find if you saw the functionality of this department, this committee and audit committee.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just going to keep my video off because of the signal. With regard to the leisure tourism market APP target, there was 405 million spent even though there was a 266 million rand initial budget. Is there a breakdown of that can account for this over expenditure? Since there are no targets, so we can't actually see what the money was used for. And then in terms of the TOMSA expenditure, which they can't really account for in terms of proper documentation, how much are we looking at there as well? Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Can you also reflect on the issue of the of systems which are not in place, or it was just a negligence from the side of the department that you got misstatements? So I think that clarity also is very important for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Is that from the department's perspective with regards to the relief effort?
Yes.
All right. Honorable Chair, through you, just to cover the functionality of the audit committee, we did evaluate the existence of the audit committee, both at the department and at the entity, and we found that they do exist, they do function. We also attend the audit committees, and from our perspective, we feel that they did provide a level of assurance during the year, and they did effectively discharge their duties. I think the important bit around the recommendations that we've raised is about the audit committees to improve their monitoring oversight on the audit action plan. Now, from our understanding of what had been implemented by the departments and the entities in relation to the findings that we raised in the previous year, we did find action plans in place, and these action plans were being monitored by the audit committee. On the department side, I guess it was the timely implementation of that action plan that could that has impacted the repeat finding that we find in terms of non-compliance. And then from the entity side, action plan was basically not effective. If I can maybe then tie it up to the TOMSA expenditure, right, and how are we looking at in terms of the money that has been spent as well. The issues that have been identified in terms of the investigation report that has now ultimately resulted in it impacting on the audit outcome being the qualification. The number that we identified of 33 million rand is what we could then determine through our testing and what invoices that we could obtained by the entity engaging with the third party to get the information. However, because there was no proper system in place to track all of these expenses, and there was no proper processes in place to track all of these, to jot down and account for these expenses at the SAT environment, we cannot conclude that amount is complete. Hence, the qualification is very similar to when one says that I could not confirm that, in fact, all of the expenses were accounted for correctly. This is also very closely related to the root cause. So the investigation report does elevate the root cause to say that there was a level of circumvention of the process. For us, in audit terms, that would be a management override of control. So there was a deliberate circumvention of the process, both from an accounting perspective of not keeping records of these expenses, as well as from the procurement process. And if I can link that up back to then even when one looks at the audit committee, you would see that once the audit committee and the board got wind of these matters and or these expenses that could potentially be kept off the books of the entity, they initiated and instituted the investigation that was done through the board. So I think it is important that I just maybe make the link of those two. In relation to Honorable Member Shamima's question around the $405 million spend and the breakdown, through you, Honorable Chair, I think that would be important information to request back from the entity and the department. From our perspective, what we did find is that certain of those measures were not useful. So first was the consistency, but at the entity was also the specificity of the indicators for us to be able to then measure it. Honourable Chair, to reflect on your question around the MIST systems, especially at the Department for the Tour Guide Relief Effort, I must be honest with you, when we started engaging the department around the relief effort, we did find that there was an electronic system that was put in place to assist with the process. And there was a set of qualifying criteria, a very robust set of qualifying criteria that was finalized. And when the relief effort was implemented, the department experienced a lot of challenges around the automated system and around the applications that were made. The criteria was then amended, which was what we also reported on in the special report. That amendment of the criteria then was not necessarily implemented adequately. And ultimately then the system had to revert to a manual process. So this the tourism relief effort was definitely plagued with some level of issues and challenges around the systems and the processes. We did audit it whilst it was being evaluated, and I think when we then finally reported, we elevated the risk and the importance around the investigating of the issues that have been identified, both from a system process and the challenges that have been made together with the recovery processes. And then very clearly that lack of a stable system and process to manage the relief effort has to be taken as a learning for any other relief effort that then come out of the department. Thank you, Chairperson. I see Karabo has got to hand up. Chairperson, through you, I can give her permission to come in.
I just wanted to add on the indicator that we've said that it's not specific. I hear Shamina's concern there around the value around it. So the value that we gave is the overall budget of the program. So it's not that the entity did not achieve the target, because it was for the activations of partnership. So what we found out is that they did not have a specific plan in place to say that we are going to enter into so many partnerships. But rather, when we got in at the end, it was only two, and the one was around $2 million and the other one was just below that. So the issue is not that they did not deliver or they did not achieve, but what we are saying is that what they have planned was not specific. So we could not determine if whether what they have achieved was an over or under achievement. Yeah, I think that's what I wanted to say there. Thank you.
Thank you, Karabo.
Okay. So that were responses, the honorable member. From the AG comprehensively. So what is clear is that recommendations of the AG have to be implemented, and as a portfolio committee, we need to ensure that those recommendations are implemented. What is clear is that the money was stolen, if deliberately so, you steal. And consequence management has to kick in there. And as a portfolio committee, we need to ensure that our oversight role is played properly, because this is our responsibility to ensure. We can't have a department which has never had a clean audit since, meaning that the minister has to assist the department to turn around things, and with the portfolio committee as well assisting the investigation has to be done, and proper processes must be followed, and we'll need to monitor the processes at the level of the portfolio committee in ensuring that all this is done. Um, 17 deceased were paid. Employees of the state duly benefited, wrongly so. A lot has been reflected here, Honorable Members, by the AG. The ball is in the court of the principal, which is the minister. In our next meeting, for sure, the minister will be able to tell us as to how is she planning to recoup the money and ensure that those who are involved, like the senior officials who are in conflict of interest as stipulated in the report, how is she going to ensure that all these things are sorted? Management consequently, irregular expenditure of 34 million. A lot. So generally, there's a lot that needs to be done to turn things around. So that's the report. Very ugly indeed, but there is nothing we can do except for ensuring that we assist to turn things around, working hand in hand with the minister. Thank you so much, Sangeeta.
Honorable Chair?
What?
Sorry, my hand is up. I just had a question on the chat that Ms. Cullen hasn't responded to. If you could just please indulge me there.
You were given an opportunity to raise questions two times. Now we are concluding the meeting. You are disturbing us in closing the meeting. No, ma'am. Okay. Don't do that, Honorable Ma'am. Please. Sangeeta, did you see the question?
Yes, Chair, Honorable Chair, I did see the question. So I think the question was, in what instances can management override procurement processes and other financial controls regarding TOMSA? I think from where we stand, the investigation report, forensic investigation report, picked up a few instances. It was relating to marketing expenses, and I think that's mixed together with the seniority of the officials that were involved, did allow that management override of procurement processes as well as financial controls. What also enabled it is that TOMSA is funds coming into the entity. So when payments made by the third party on behalf of the entity, that funds coming into the entity were net of that expenses that were made. So that's basically how the override of control took place. I hope that does answer the Honourable Chair's question, an Honourable Member's question.
Okay. Anita, in an event where the AG gets this kind of a report, and then the accounting authority at the time decided to leave and work elsewhere. How does the processes of recouping, investigation, and what have you should unfold?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. So I think the PFMA is clear, indicating that any form of misappropriation of public funds or entity assets, anything related to irregular expenditure should be followed up and the necessary action to be taken. That then it can entail an investigation, and consequence management can be conducted in many forms. So the consequence management, obviously, once an employee has left the organization or any of the those charged with governance have left the organization, they can still continue to be held accountable. And I guess after that comes a personal liability. So basically, from a criminal case perspective, when they are in the organization, I think the recommendation we generally do give is the disciplinary action against the employee and the potential recovery. But once they do leave the organization, it is then to be pursued from a criminal perspective.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, AG, for your presentation and such an insightful a report, very bad indeed. We welcome that report as is. Without wasting time, we are going to move to the next point on our agenda, which is the minutes. Can you lower your hand, Honorable Shabema, on the system, because your hand is still up. Thank you so much. You are released, AG.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member. Thank you very much.
Jerry, 10 minutes.
Good morning, Chair.
The minute.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Hello, Dr. Kosoyo. Can I? Hello, Doc.
Yes,
can I ask? Yeah, yes. Can I ask you just to flight our minutes on the screen?
I'll have to find them in the email. I didn't upload them.
Oh, then. Can you see? Can you see them? Can you say it, Honorable Member?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chair. These are the last minutes of the Portfolio Committee on our meeting of the 7th of September, 2021. Committee will recall on that day we had that meeting with the. In fact, we had two issues there. One, we were electing the chair, the current chairperson. Two, we had that briefing with the Tourism Transformation Council of South Africa, where they were invited just to come and present it to the committee about what they are doing and how far they are now. Chair, basically, this is all what was the deliberations of that meeting. But if I can just go towards the end, because all of this is just a summary of what they presented there. But basically what the committee was really concerned about was this issue of a definition of a transformation and reasons for non-compliance. The committee raised that issue with them. Secondly, the pace of transformation in the tourism sector, in particular in as far as the villages and townships and small towns are concerned. That issue was raised sharply by the Portfolio Committee on Tourism. Also, the committee was also concerned about the employment patterns in the industry. Hence, they expressed a growing concern among South Africans that the sector seems to be employing more foreign nationals than South Africans. Now, the council did respond to that question of the committee the way it has responded there in this minute, Chairperson. Then one other thing that the committee was also concerned about was the issue of compliance. That council indicated that the tourism structures are expected to be compliant when the entities do not comply. That affects their own BBBE status. On the issue of partnership, they considered that the transformation in South Africa requires partnership, and it was also indicated that the partnership is pivotal. For example, the skill shortage was identified. A partnership program is being implemented with the University of South Africa on upskilling women through Women Executive Development Program. The committee also raised the issue of empowerment of women as well. The issue, Chair, of the court action by the organization called the AfriForum was also raised. The council indicated that it was not the first time the Department of Tourism is taken to court by the AfriForum and the Solidarity on Transformation Program. What is of concern to the department is are the codes being disputed in court are not government codes, but are codes that were set up by the tourism sector itself. Then the committee was then concerned on those interests that were the AfriForum and the Solidarity were acting on. Then in a nutshell, Chair, the committee noted that the employment patterns in the sector need to be attended and be looked for. A women empowerment program of the department also is encouraged, and the non-compliance by the business owners, especially in the Western Cape, because that point was made, also needs to be attended to by both the department and the council as well. And also there is more information on the court action on the AfriForum that was also required. As a result, the committee resolved that, Chairperson. One resolution was that the committee was to consider to resume its previous decision on annual reporting on transformation by the Tourism Transformation Council of South Africa. Members will recall that initially the committee was saying they must report it to the committee annually. Then that decision, the committee was of the view it needs to be revisited. And a suggestion was made that they need to report quarterly. Then also it was also indicated that the council should provide the committee with written on the definition of transformation and reasons for non-compliance with the BEE sector code. And also the committee said government should consider intervening in transforming the sector because it looks as if the carrot and stick approach seem not to be working properly in our sector. The sector codes were being flouted by the same people or business owners every year. So basically, those were the resolutions that were taken by the committee, Chairperson. And the draft program for consideration, then the committee agreed to defer that program that was about to be tabled, and the minutes were circulated as well. Then, if I can indicate, Chair, also to the committee, as it was indicated, they need to provide the committee with this written response. That written response, they did indeed responded to it in writing. They sent it to the committee, and through me, then I circulated those responses that were required from them to all the committee members. Chairperson, thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. There you have it. Minutes, matters arising, comments I will allow. Or if not, can we move for the adoption of the minutes? Is there a true reflection of our deliberations? I see no hands. Honorable Komba.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Can we get a second now? Can we get a second for the minutes? Mobano.
Okay, who's called?
All right, Honorable Stolle.
I'll second it.
Minutes adopted. Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Now we're moving to the third and fourth quarter performance report. Jerry, you again. Can you remove these minutes from the screen because they are adopted now?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, the report that we are tabling to the committee. I just want to apologize to the chair and the committee because in my agenda I said the third and fourth quarter report. It's not third and fourth. It's a fourth quarter report, Chairperson. Because we have done quarter one, we have done quarter two, and then we have done quarter three. Then the last quarter that we did in August, it was the fourth quarter performance. I sincerely apologize for that entry in the agenda, Chairperson. But basically, what we are saying here, we just want to table this report. Therefore, what we are requesting to the committee is just to take it and go through it, and at a later stage, maybe when we adopt the BRRR, we can also adopt this draft committee report as well. So that for the sake of completeness, we don't leave the report hanging in the sky, because when the parliament is making a follow-up here, then they could also see we have also considered the fourth quarterly report. We have considered it, and we've finalized it, and we can be able to send it back to the National Assembly for approval. That's all we are requesting to the committee at this stage. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Member, someone is talking there. Can you mute your mic so that we don't hear your conversation and also you don't disturb the meeting? Please, Honorable Member. Okay. I'm looking for him. Jerry, can you close the screen? Remove this the minutes from the screen. Thank you. Yes. Okay, Honorable Komba. Oh, you know
the Honorable Chair, I said, according to Mr. Boltina, said he said we are going to adopt the report on the first with the next coming report. So he's looking for us to consider the report, the fourth quarter report consideration. So I move for the consideration of the fourth report. I'm not sure.
My understanding is that Mr. Boltina is tabling the report or whatever that is just tabled to the portfolio committee. I don't know for what purpose. Perhaps he must tell us so that there's no confusion. Mr. Boltina.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry, Chairperson. I'm so sorry, Chair, if I was not clear, Chair. Chair, one, the point I was making here, I was just saying, first, I was just apologizing to the committee the entry that is in my agenda, because I said third quarter and fourth quarter. In reality, it's only the fourth quarter, Chairperson, of quarter four of 2020-21 that we are tabling to the portfolio committee. Now, what we are saying, we are now just tabling it to the committee. Then when we consider the BRRR report on the 23rd of November, we can also finalize that quarterly report as well, Chairperson, just for the sake of completeness and completion. That's all we are requesting for the committee to do now. Members can take it and go through it, and then when we finalize the BRRR, then we also finalize that one as well. That is the request, Chair.
You captured it correctly, Ma'am Komba.
Yes, I've captured it, but I'm still not sure what he is asking for us to do. But just to see that we have the report, we'll consider it in the next coming meeting. I'm not sure. I'm still not clear as to why he presented the report today.
Okay, so sorry, through you, Chair. Chair, the report is tabled just for the committee to have it and go through it, Chairperson. Then in terms of finalizing it, we are proposing to the committee that we finalize it on the 23rd when we finalize the BRRR, Chair.
Can I come in, Chair?
Yes, because at this stage the committee have not seen that report, Chairperson.
Okay.
Yes, Honorable Chair,
we therefore note the report that it is tabled today.
I was also going to say let's note the report, the tabling of the report. Must just be noted, because otherwise we will be going back and forth with all the confusion surrounding the whole tabling thing. So the report is duly noted, Jerry, that you have tabled it. And that was the last point on our agenda of the first session of our meeting, isn't it, Committee Secretary?
Yes, Chairperson, it is. And then the next one, Chair, it will be at 2 o'clock, Chairperson, with the Department of Tourism.
I know last meeting, so we are reconvening at 2. Thank you very much, honorable members. For your presence in the meeting, committee staff. We are now going to meet at 2. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.